One of the innovations in prayer that the Israelites made, as opposed to the surrounding culture in which they lived, was in prayer. The Israelites were surrounded, especially in the Old Testament, in this passage from 1 Samuel. The Israelites were surrounded by Canaanites. And the Canaanite religion was one of many gods. There were water gods, and there were sky gods, and there were nature gods, and all sorts of gods. And the Canaanite belief was that you could do a quid pro quo with the gods, and you would get something from them in answer to your prayer. Quid pro quo, meaning this for that. So if you could only find the proper key to unlock the god's ear, then you would get what you had requested. So if you offered the proper offering, whatever the god wanted that particular moment in time, or the most sincere prayer, or the proper ritual said in the proper manner, and if your prayer wasn't answered, then the Canaanite belief was somehow that you were the problem, that it was your prayer that was at fault. You had offered the wrong offering, or maybe it was the right offering, but you offered it at the wrong time, or to the wrong god. So there was a lot of sense of, if you could just manipulate the system, if you could just find the proper key, the right way of doing it, then this would all work out right, and your prayer would, without a doubt, be answered. Yet the Israelites had an innovation in prayer, and it had to do with the fact that they understood God as free, that God had a plan that was beyond human plans, that God was not a cosmic ATM machine and you punch in the right numbers and then you would get out exactly what you wanted. You get an automatic answer. Instead, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the Bible, is free to do what he wants. He may answer our prayers if they fit with his plan. And he may not answer prayers, prayers that are more sincerely offered by others, prayers that are more right down the line, but if it doesn't fit with God's plan, God will not answer that prayer. And this was a big innovation, to believe that the God of the Israelites has a plan and it belongs to him, that it's a personal plan. It's a relevant plan, but it may not be my plan. It may not answer any of my prayers. And it may not be your plan. It may make us rather unhappy about what the situation is on the ground. And that's exactly the situation that Hannah finds herself in. She doesn't know what God's plan is. Her husband is married to her and another woman back in the days when polygamy was permitted. And Hannah was not getting pregnant. Hannah seemed to be infertile. And it seemed like God was not answering her prayers and was answering everybody else's prayers, and she wants to know why. Anyone who, like Hannah, has dealt with the pain of infertility knows the prayer and the pain, knows what it feels like to be unheard by God, or to understand that God just is not going to answer your prayer. The desperation, the bargaining that goes on, the depression, the feeling that everybody else gets what they want, even people who are less worthy, the feeling of injustice. And the question becomes, if there's another plan, what is it? If there's a different plan, what is it? God has a plan, but in the process, this almost breaks Hannah's heart. Well, prayer in the Bible is not so much knowing what is happening or what will happen, but rather prayer in the Bible is knowing to whom you are talking. Now, I want to say that again because it's very important. Prayer in the Bible is not so much knowing what is happening or what will happen, but to whom you are talking. If we fast forward and look to the New Testament, the second passage we heard read, from Mark chapter 13, when Jesus talks about the end of times, Jesus talks in this way. " Jesus says to his disciples, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." When you talk to Jesus, you're knowing the heart of God. And Jesus says in Mark 13, nobody knows the mind of God. Nobody knows exactly what's going on in God's mind. Not the angels, not humankind, not the Son of God. That only God knows what the plan is going to be. Only God knows it from beginning to end and everywhere in between. And Jesus cautions us against thinking that we know too much about what God is going to do. Jesus cautions us about saying, "I know what God's going to do in this particular instance." Turning back to the 1 Samuel lesson, the priest Eli, he presumes that he knows the mind of God, and that he knows that this woman who is sitting in an empty sanctuary, who is praying and she's crying and her lips are moving but there's no words coming out, he's convinced that she's had too much to drink. He's convinced that she is just somebody who's wandered in, the door was open, and he's caught somebody trespassing. And he tells her to get out. And Hannah knows to whom she's talking. Hannah knows to whom she's praying and pouring out her soul. She trusts God. And she says, "I am not who you think I am, Eli. I am someone who is sitting here and I am having a conversation with the Lord." And that is so important. There was a woman I had heard of many years ago who came in after a particular tragedy had struck her family. And she came in to visit a church. And it was her home church. And it was during the week. It was a weekday when nobody was around. And she said to the pastor, she said, "I'd really like to go into the sanctuary. And I need some prayer time." And the pastor allowed her to enter into the sanctuary, invited her to come in, make herself comfortable. And a few moments later, he could hear throughout the building that this woman was wailing and sobbing and was so angry at God. And at first, he thought perhaps something had happened to her, but he checked in, he looked in the doors and found out that she was all right. She was just praying and saying to God, "I need your help right now because I don't understand any of this." And it was to the great wisdom of that pastor that he didn't interfere. He didn't go in and say, "Okay, that's enough. You're making a scene." He didn't go in and say, "Remember who you're talking to. You're talking to God." But instead, he backed out and closed the door and let that woman have that time to talk to God. I have a friend who is a pastor, and he had a parishioner who was really deep into these television TV preachers and really deep into the book of Revelation. And he got into this Mark chapter 13 sort of thing. And he came to his pastor the one day and he said, "You know what, I'm trying to figure out when the end times will come. Everybody seems to have a theory." And he says, "And I'm really confused and I need you to help me kind of figure out where all this is going to happen and when all this is going to happen. And one television preacher says this and another says that. And I've got the Bible open and I'm really, really digging down deep into Revelation and Mark 13. And I really need you to help me to know the mind of God." And my friend, and I'm very glad he said this, and I've used this many times in my own ministry, my friend wisely said, wait. He says, "Mark 13 says, nobody knows that day or that hour except for God the Father himself. The angels don't know it. Jesus himself says he doesn't know it. Humankind certainly can't know it." And he says, and I applaud you going back to the book of the Bible. I applaud you going back to Revelation and digging deep. But he says, before you start doing that, it's more important to know who this God is than to know exactly what's going to happen in the next day, 2 weeks, month, year, 10 years. He says, it's more important to know who this God is that we worship So he said, do me a favor and just try an experiment. For the next 2 weeks, don't look at Revelation at all. Get into the Gospels. Find a Bible that has the red letters of Jesus, that has the words of Jesus in red, and find a place where you can look, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and learn as much as you can about our Lord, about Jesus Christ. And instead of trying to figure out what is happening and interpreting that, instead of trying to figure out every sign and to peer into God's date book, try learning who it is that we worship. Try learning to whom it is we're talking when we pray. He says, if you do that, I think things will work out better for you. 2 weeks later, the parishioner and the pastor met together, and the man said, thank you so much. He said, I have learned more in the past 2 weeks about Jesus Christ than I ever thought I could. And all that other stuff that was getting in my way and that was clogging up my brain, all that stuff has sort of faded into the background, and I feel more confident about my spirituality and about my Christianity than I've ever felt. I feel more confident that Jesus is in my heart and that I'm going in the right direction. My prayer life is so much better and so much deeper. I was drowning in quicksand, and now I feel that I understand God and God's Son so much better. So our challenge today, right now, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, is to say thanks to that God whom we worship and find out more about Him. Maybe He's confusing. Maybe we're frustrated. Maybe we don't understand what His plan is. But don't let that conversation pass you by. Don't let that conversation pass you by. Don't keep your lips silent. Don't keep your tears to yourself. God would much rather hear from you. God would much rather if you were like Hannah, praying and not knowing what you're saying, praying and keeping your lips moving, than to be like Eli the priest, who's supposed to know all the answers, and he has this conviction that he knows how God operates. Well, that's the wrong way our God works, my friends. Our God works in a way that you and I can't understand. You and I can't fully understand. And God wants us to take part in that conversation. And then and only then, maybe will we understand which way God is calling us to go. Amen.